blessing. I heard her yesterday just singing, and that was great. I croak around the house. I'm teasing. Need a Bible. I had to say that for you, Brenda. Brenda's been after me to sing in church, and I leave that to my wife, and I'll do the preaching. How about that? Ephesians chapter 5. Anybody need a Bible? Raise your hand if you would, please. The book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. I'll sing for you one of these days on a hill far away. Book of Ephesians in your Bibles, please. So we've had a wonderful service thus far this morning. The music has just been beautiful. Thank you, Mrs. Silitz, for that offertory. I don't know that we could get any better than that unless we were in heaven. Can you imagine what the music in heaven's going to sound like? I mean, if people like Mrs. Silas can make that piano sound like that here, wow, it's going to be incredible, isn't it? It really is, but I've been blessed by all the music. I like the Christmas season. I like the Christmas music. I just like about everything there is to like about it. I like the food too much, but you get my age, you know what I'm talking about, right? But it's a lot of fun, and we thank the Lord for it, and thank you for Jesus, amen, coming to this earth. We'll still be in the book of Ephesians a few more weeks before we make a change in our preaching toward the Christmas theme. And last Sunday, being the Sunday before Thanksgiving, I skipped over a portion of Ephesians chapter 5, hopped down to verse 20, where the Bible says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And shared a message last week on the Spirit of Thanksgiving, and then we came Sunday night, and boy, did we ever have a wonderful praise and Thanksgiving service. Amen. Wonderful time together, and we thank the Lord for His blessing on that. This morning, I want to back up some weeks ago to where we left off in our study of Ephesians chapter 5. The last time I preached on Ephesians chapter 5, minus last week, was Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. That's where we ended, where it was challenging us to walk as children of light. And we want to pick up with that thought this morning and continue forward in our study of the book of Ephesians. So if you're physically able to do so, I'd like for you to stand this morning, if you would, please. And we'll begin reading in verse 8, and then I'm going to read down through verse 17. Pay attention to your Bibles now. Verse 8, the Bible says this, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we come this morning, and we thank you, Lord, for the beautiful music that has been played for us, the hymns that have been sung, the choir's rendition, Lord, of our Savior coming, Lord, to be born, to die on that cross on our behalf. And then, Father, what better thing can we do in light of the great salvation that we've received from the Lord Jesus Christ, that gift of His great love and the gift of the forgiveness of sins, and to turn around and give our lives back to Him. And Father, Jesus is worthy of that. And as we're going to find this morning in this passage of Scripture, He's worthy of every one of us walking as children of light. And I pray, Lord, that by the time we get done here this morning, you will have spoken to every heart, every individual that's come into this room about their walk and how they're walking and representing you in the world in which we're living in. We'll praise you and thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I think you may be seated. As we come back to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 in our study of the book of Ephesians, let me remind you once again that the Apostle Paul in verse 8 was reminding the Ephesian believers of what their lives were like before they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Notice the beginning of the verse, it says this, "For ye were," notice it says, "sometimes," what's the word? Darkness. He's describing their pre-salvation life, what their life was like before they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says you guys were full of darkness. I mentioned three Sundays ago that they were taken up in an idolatrous lifestyle, that they were worshiping the Roman goddess by the name of Diana. The book of Acts in Acts chapter 19 tells us also that involved in their idolatry, they were given over to witchcraft and magical incantations. Those that came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior took their books of witchcraft after they came to know the Lord and burnt them. Their lives had been filled with what? Darkness. Now the light of life had come to them, the light of the world, Jesus Christ. It made such a profound influence and impact upon their lives that they are leaving that darkness, moving out of that darkness, embracing light, if you would please. Their lives had been categorized by all types of immoral behavior. The kind of immoral behavior that's described for us in verses 3 and 4 of this chapter. Notice in verse 3 it says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." It had been named among them before they came to know the Lord. In verse 4, "Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." So we see here in verse 8, Paul is reminding them, if you would please, that in their lives prior to salvation, their lives were filled with what? Darkness. Get that now this morning. Their lives were filled with what? Their lives were filled with darkness. Now, before you and I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we may not have been involved in idolatry. We may not have been involved, well, maybe I ought to take that back. Some folks had some idol worship yesterday. Did they not? Sounds to me like a whole nation of South Carolina was taken up in something. Wasn't that the battle for the national championship that took place last night in South Carolina? Yeah, for some people it was, right? You know what I'm talking about. The game. You say, what game? The only game there was. The only game that matters to a lot of people, right? I don't even know who won, and don't even tell me, okay? I don't need to know. I'm not into sports. But, you know, some people take sports and they make it an idol, do they not? There's other people who take other things, they turn it into an idol. But, you know, what I'm saying here is that your life may not have been categorized by idolatry. Your life may not have been categorized by witchcraft and magical incantations. Maybe your life wasn't filled with immoral practices, and that's fine, and that's nice, and that's wonderful. But without the Lord, your life was filled with darkness. Darkness. When a person doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they are walking in darkness. They are living in darkness. And our hearts have the capacity in darkness to do an awful lot of evil things. The heart of man is not a good heart. The heart of man is a wicked heart. It's an evil heart. You know, some liberal theologians want to say that within the heart of man, there's a little spark of goodness within every one of us. They like to say a little spark of divinity resides within every one of us. All you need to do is fan the flame a little bit, and you'll get goodness coming out of mankind. Do you realize and understand that that's just the opposite of what the Bible teaches? Take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, if you would, please. Mark chapter 7. Hold your place in Ephesians. We'll come right back. But in Mark chapter 7, I want you to understand that the heart of man is capable of doing the worst of things. And yet, before you were saved, whether you were doing the worst of things or not, if you didn't know the Lord as Savior, you're still walking in darkness. In Mark chapter 7, it's page 1054 if you're using one of our Bibles. In Mark chapter 7, notice what the Bible says about the heart of man. In Mark chapter 7, this is coming out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 21, he says this. He says, "For from," get it now, "from where?" "Within," out of the what? "Heart of men." Now notice what comes out of our hearts. "Proceeds" what kind of thoughts? Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Verse 23, all these what? Good things? No, God says all these evil things come from where? Within. They come from within us, the Bible says, and they defile the man. You know, we all have a heart that is capable of doing some pretty evil things. You understand that? And before we came to know the Lord as Savior, we were walking in darkness. Maybe not the same darkness as the folks there in Ephesus, but we were walking in darkness. And the truth of the matter is, before we were saved, our love was not for righteousness. It was not for things that we would consider to be godly. The Bible says that men love darkness because their deeds are evil. Let's take our Bibles and turn there. John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. The Gospel of John in John chapter 3. I want to bring you back to where we were, where we left off just about 3 weeks ago when we were back in our study of the book of Ephesians. Sort of pick up, give you the thrust of where we were at, and then look at this challenge. In the Gospel of John, in John chapter 3, if you would please. In John chapter 3, look down in verses 19 and 20. I want to read these verses, and I'll make reference to them later in the message. Notice it says in verse 19, it says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved," they loved the light? No, it says men loved what? Darkness rather than what? Light. Because their deeds were what? Remember, within the heart of man is what? Evil. And men love the light? No, men love what? And before we were saved, what we were walking in? We were walking in darkness. We were walking in darkness. Now hold your place in John's Gospel and flip back over to Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 5, notice what he says in verse 8. He says, "Ye were sometimes darkness." That's what you were before you were saved. But then he goes on to say this in verse 8. He says, "But now things have changed." That's not where you are now. You've come to know Christ as Savior. And he says, "Now ye are light in" who? The Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. We are light where? In the Lord. Now I ask you to hold your place in John's Gospel. Look over in John chapter 1. We looked at this verse a few weeks ago, but I want to remind you of it, refresh your memory. We want to pick up where we left off, so we need to go back and just get the thrust of this. We were in darkness, but now we're light in the Lord. Wow, what a wonderful thing that is. And in John chapter 1, notice what the Bible tells us here. In John chapter 1, that light is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 1, in verse 4, it says, "In Him, Jesus, was," get this now, "was what? Life. And the life was the what? Light of men." Now, when Jesus came down to this earth, what kind of life was in Him? What kind of life did He come to bring us? The answer is eternal what? Life. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, "I'm come that they might have life, that they might have it." And without the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have no life. We may have physical life, but we have no spiritual life. Dead in our trespasses and what? Sins. Walking a life in what? Darkness. But when we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the Spirit of God quickened us. Christ made us alive. He brought us life, and that life that He brought to us is light. It's light. In Him was life, and the life was the what? Light of men. So what did He do? He brought us light. We were where? In darkness. But no longer. If you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, have you accepted Christ as your Savior? You're no longer in darkness. Where are you at now? You're in what? You're in light. The Lord's made an amazing transformation in our lives. He brought us out of darkness. He brought us into light. 1 Thessalonians, if you would please, chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, don't lose Ephesians. Go with me to your right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, notice what the Bible tells us here. Now, this is an important verse for us to understand and see this morning. Page 1269. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, notice verse 5. Well, let's begin in verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 4, page 1269. Notice verse 4 says, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness." Were we at one time? Yes, before we were saved. But now we're saved and we can be called brethren. And it says, "Ye, brethren, you're not in what? You're not in darkness. That day should overtake you as a thief," thinking about the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord's return, and how He's going to come as a thief in the air. And the Bible's saying, well, we're not in darkness concerning this. And he says in verse 5, and verse 5 is the verse I want you to see. He says, ye are all, get it now, you're all the children of what? So if you're here this morning and you're saved, you can no longer be considered a child of darkness. You're now a child of what? Light. And look what that verse goes on to say to us. That verse goes on to say, we're not of the night nor of what? Darkness. Read that verse with me. I want you to see it. I want you to get it. Okay? I think some of you have a little turkey hangover here this morning. All right? Verse 5. Wake up now. Stay with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. It says, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. We're of light. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Follow what's being said here. Follow the instruction. Follow the admonition we come to now. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 8, ye were sometimes what? Darkness. That's where we were before we were saved. But what's the verse go on to say? But now, are you what? Are you light? So we've been translated into what? Light. Christ has brought us light. We have light in Him. We're children of light. Now look at the admonition of the verse. God goes on and says, walk as children of light. Are you telling me, preacher, my life's to be different because I'm a child of God? I'm not telling you that. That's the Bible's telling you that. I was in darkness. I'm now light. Isn't that what it says? It says, I'm light. I'm light in the Lord. Now the admonition is, I'm to walk as a child of light. Walk ye as children of light. That's God's instruction to every individual sitting in this room here this morning who knows Jesus Christ as Savior. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, God's instruction to you is to be walking as a child of light. As a child of light. Our lives are not to be a reflection of the darkness. That's where we were. Our lives are to be a reflection of the light. That's where we are. You follow me there? And so he says, walk as a child of what? Of a child of light. You know, though we've been saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And God's grace teaches us, now that we're saved, that our lives are to take on a different character. That we're not to live the way we lived before we knew the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Do you understand grace teaches that? Yeah. Take your Bibles and look at it. Book of Titus. Titus chapter 2. The book of Titus in Titus chapter 2. Over to your right. The book of Titus in Titus chapter 2, page 1284. The book of Titus in Titus chapter 2, in verse 11, the Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth, look at it now, that brings us what? Salvation. By the way, there's no other way to get it. The only way to get it brought to you is through the grace of God. And what a wonderful God, God we have, a God of grace. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now verse 12, look what the verse says. Teaching us that all, denying. What are we to deny? Ungodliness and worldly lust. You know what that says? Deny the darkness you were in. Men love darkness because their deeds are what? Evil. When your deeds are evil and you go about doing evil, typically speaking, you don't do it out in the open. For anybody and everybody to see, you do it in the what? In the darkness. We were darkness, but we're now light. And the Lord says, we've been saved by grace. And God's grace teaches us to deny the dark life that we once lived, to deny the ungodliness, to deny the worldly lust, the worldly desires. And grace goes on to teach us to live how? Look at it. It says what? Soberly. God's people are to be serious about how they live their lives on this earth. We are to live sober lives. We are to live also, look at it now, we're to live soberly. How else are we to live? Righteously. And number three, it says, and we're to live what? godly. And the Bible says, in this present what? You say, but I'm living an ungodly world. And yes, and God says we're to live godly. And it comes down to our mentality of saying, that's what I was, that's where I was at, but you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ, in His grace and mercy, has done a wonderful work in my life. He has saved me. And because He saved me, by His grace, grace now teaches me I'm to live a different kind of life. I'm to walk as a child of light. As a child of light. Not only has grace taught us how to live, justification teaches us how to live. Justified. You know what justification is, don't you? It's when God takes us, when we come to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, it's a legal term that means to be declared righteous. It's sort of like going before the courtroom of heaven, God's sitting on the throne, God's the judge. We're sitting down here, we're the guilty ones. And because we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, God pronounces us not guilty. He says, justified, declared righteous. This individual is acquitted of all the charges against him. It means to be clean slated. That's what Jesus Christ has done for us. He has wiped our slate clean, and none of the sin that we've committed is ever going to be held against us. And here in Titus chapter 3, in verse 7, the Bible says, what a great verse, that being justified by His, look at it now, by His what? Grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What have we been made heirs of? Salvation, a home in heaven, eternal life. Now verse 8. Okay, you've been justified? This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to, look at it now, careful to do what? Maintain good what? My life's not to be walking in darkness. I'm to be walking in the light. I'm to be maintaining good works. And it says, and these things are good and what? Profitable unto men. And God's people, when we are maintaining good works and living for the Lord and doing the right things in life, that's good and it's beneficial. It's profitable. We're going to be rewarded for that at the judgment seat of Christ. We are people who are to walk as people who have been saved by grace. We are people who are to walk as people who have been justified by God. We are people who are to walk working out our own salvation. Go with me to the book of Philippians, if you would please. Philippians chapter 2. You heard me right. Working out our salvation. I did not say working for our salvation. Did you hear me say that? No, we can't work for our salvation. God says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on Christ who justifies the ungodly. Our faith is what's counted for righteousness. Ephesians 2:9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we've done. We don't work for our salvation. That work Christ completed. That's the work of the cross. That's what Jesus did through His death, burial, and resurrection on our behalf. But once we receive His salvation, we have it, and now we're to exercise it. We're to work it out. In the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 12, notice what the Bible says. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, look what the admonition is there. Hey, we're to work what? Out our salvation with fear and what? Yeah. We're to work it out. We're to exercise it. We're to walk as a child of what? Light. You say, well, why does it say with fear and trembling? Lest we fail. Lest we fail the Lord. You want to stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ having failed Him? And remember, the judgment seat of Christ doesn't determine our destiny. It determines our reward or our loss of reward. But I don't want to stand before the judgment seat of Christ having failed Him. Having Him brought me out of what? Darkness and into what? Light. And then I'll just go on living in darkness. I'll just go on living in the ungodliness of the world. No. No. That's why God says, let's work it out. Let's exercise it with fear and trembling. He goes on in this passage, and notice in verse 15, He says this, that ye may be, look at it now, that ye may be what? Blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without what? Rebuke. That's how we want to stand before the Lord, without rebuke. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine, get it now, you shine as what? Lights in the world. You see, God's people were intended by God to be shining lights in the world that we're living in. Shining lights. Walk as children of light. You follow me here this morning? Are you with me? Okay, good. Two of you. All right? Walk as children of light. That's what he's saying. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in what? In vain. And I tell you this, no pastor wants his efforts, his labors to be in vain. Every pastor that's worth his salt in teaching and preaching the word of God to the people of God want them to realize, hey, this is where I was, but this is where I am. And I'm not going back there. I'm going up here. I'm going to be walking as a child of light. Now, let's go back to the book of Ephesians. That's where we left off 3 weeks ago in our study, verse-by-verse study of the book of Ephesians. Verse 8, let's say it all together. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. One more time. Some of you didn't get there yet. Ephesians 5, 8, one more time. For ye sometimes were darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, some of you are saying, well, okay, that's good. I understand that. I'm supposed to walk as a child of light. How do I do it? How do I do it? Well, that's what verses 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 are about. They're explaining to us how we go about walking as a child of light. Notice verse 9 is a parenthetical thought. Verse 9 says this, for the fruit of the Spirit is all what? Goodness and righteousness and what? Truth. So if we're walking in the Spirit and we are living Spirit-filled lives, which we will talk about, Lord willing, next week when we come to verse 18, where it says, be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit of God. If we are walking in the Spirit, if we are living Spirit-filled lives, you know, it's going to manifest itself in the lives that we're living in. We're going to be living in all what? Goodness and righteousness and what? Truth. In other words, our lives are not going to be the lives of darkness. But how do we walk as a child of light? Well, verse 10. First of all, verse 10 says, we have to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. If we're going to walk as a child of light, we've got to prove what is acceptable to the Lord. Do you see that in verse 10? It's pretty clear, isn't it? Proving what is, what's that word? Acceptable unto the Lord. You know, once we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, realizing that the Lord has brought us out of darkness, there ought to be one thought that governs our life's actions. According to this verse. And that one thought ought to be, is this acceptable to the Lord? I mean, we all ought to embrace that thought. Because it tells us in verse 8, we're to walk as children of what? Light. Then God goes on and says, now here's how you do it. God's not going to ask us to do that which He will not enable us to do. That which He will not show us how to do. And He says, we've got to prove, we've got to discern what is acceptable unto the Lord. And that thought ought to govern every aspect of our lives. Is this what the Lord would want? Is this what would please God? Would God be happy with me if I did these things? If I did this? I mean, that thought ought to be central. Central station in the mind of every child of God who's been brought out of darkness. I want to do what is acceptable to God, what is well-pleasing to God. Take your Bibles, look at a couple verses with me, if you would please. Hold your place here and go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Page 1233, if you're using one of our Bibles this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Is this acceptable to the Lord? Is this what God would be pleased with? Is this what God would be happy with? Proving what is acceptable in the Lord. Walking as a child of light. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 8, we have a great verse. A great verse of confidence. And that is that our eternal destiny is a certain thing. I mean, it's not a hope-so thing. It's not a maybe thing. It's a certain thing. In verse 8, it says, we are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be what? Present with the Lord. So the Bible is saying that a certainty for a child of God is that when he leaves this body behind, absent from this body means he's present with the Lord. Where are we going when we die? Heaven, to be with the Lord. We're not going to the grave. We're going to heaven to be with the Lord. Absent from the body. Present with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 speaks about the return of Christ for his bride, the church, at the rapture. Even so, them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. How's he bringing them with him if they aren't with him? See, some folks just think they go to the grave and their soul's sleeping in the grave, waiting a resurrection. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches the body goes to the grave. Soul and spirit goes to heaven to be with the Lord. Because when Christ comes back, he brings them with him. He brings them with him because they've been with him. Does that make sense to you? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Now, having that assurance, verse 9 goes on to say, wherefore we labor. Because of that, we labor. We work for the Lord. That whether present or absent, we may be, look at it now, accepted of him. That phrase, accepted of him, means that we may be well-pleasing to him. Well-pleasing to him. Whether I am in his presence in heaven or whether I'm not in his presence, I'm here on this earth. God wants me as a child of light to be so living that my life is well-pleasing to my Savior. See, how are we going to walk as a child of light? Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. What's well-pleasing the Lord? Lord, would you be pleased with this action? Would you be pleased with what I'm doing here? I want the Lord to be well pleased with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're just looking at some scripture this morning that teaches us how to walk as a child of light. And if we're going to walk as a child of light, we've got to get this mentality in our minds that we want to live our lives doing what's acceptable to God, doing what's pleasing to God, doing that which God would be happy with. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 31, the Bible says this, whether therefore you eat or you drink or whatsoever you what? Do. Well, that's all encompassing about life, isn't it? Whatever we do. Notice what the Bible says there. We're to do it all to the glory of God. When the Bible says to do it all to the glory of God, the word glory there means honor. We're to do it to the honor of God. To the honor of God. You know, teenagers sometimes, young people say things like this. Well, you know, Dad, Mom, why can't I do such and such? You ever heard that out of your teenagers? You know? Why can't I do this? Or what's wrong with that? You know, you hear things like that out of your teenagers, don't you? How many heard that out of your teenagers? All right. Thank you for being honest. All right. You hear our teenagers say things like that. Do you understand this morning? That's the wrong question. Those are the wrong questions. Why can't I do that? Why can't I do this? You know what the right question is for all of us? Is this acceptable to the Lord? Would God put his stamp of approval on it? If God's not willing to put his stamp of approval on it, walk as children of? He brought you out of the what? Not to go back to the darkness. You are to be walking as children of light. So how are we going to do it? We've got to embrace this mentality in our lives. Is this acceptable to him? I didn't say, is it acceptable to your parents? I didn't say, is it acceptable to your pastor? I didn't say, is it acceptable to your Sunday school teacher? I didn't say, is it acceptable to your deacon? I said, is it acceptable to God? He's the one who sets the standard for right and wrong. And if we're going to walk as children of light, we have to embrace this mentality. First of all, is accept the Lord. Now let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. There's more in this passage. If we're going to walk as a child of light, Not only must we embrace this idea of what is acceptable to the Lord, but verses 11, 12, and 13 go together. And verses 11, 12, and 13 are going to teach us, and we got to guard our fellowship. We have to guard our fellowship. You know what fellowship is? Fellowship is to share things in common. It's the people you hang out with. It's the people you do things with. And look what the Bible says here in verses 11, 12, and 13. The Bible says, and have, what's that little word there? No fellowship with the unfruitful works of what? Darkness. Rather, what are we to do? Reprove them. The Lord doesn't say have a little fellowship with them. He doesn't say have some fellowship with them. Just go ahead and have a lot of fellowship with them. God says have no what? Fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. He goes on in verse 12. He says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in what? Secret. One of the sad things about our nation today, and there's many sad things about our nation, is that we have lost our shame. Things that used to go on hidden in the alleys of America are paraded down Main Street as though there's nothing wrong with them. There are certain actions that when people take them, they ought to be absolutely ashamed of those actions. God says we shouldn't even talk about the things they do. Don't even talk about the things they do, let alone get close to participating in those things. Verse 13 says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest, look at it now, is what?
Light.
Is light. So the instruction here is that we're not to have any fellowship, anything in common, with the unfruitful works of darkness. That's where we once were. You say, well, preacher, does that mean we have to live our lives as isolationist? You know, we're going to go buy ourselves a mountain somewhere? Isolationist, thank you, all right? Isolationist. I now have turkey overhang, all right? Isolationist, thank you. We're just going to buy us a mountain somewhere and we'll just all go up there and exist together until the Lord returns? No. God would say we're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. And he says that our fellowship is not to be with the unfruitful works of darkness. Yesterday, my wife sent me to the grocery store. We've got some young people coming over our house today for lunch. So she sent me to the grocery store. They're all girls. Would you pray for your pastor? I've got to survive with all these girls. And as I was at the grocery store, did I have contact with the world? I was in the what? But am I to be of the world? That's not to be my scope of fellowship. I'm not to hang out with those folks. I'm not to develop close friendships with those folks. I'm not to develop camaraderie with those folks. I'm not to be doing things with those folks. Why? Because if I begin to hang out with them, I will begin to reflect their character of what? Darkness. He who walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools, the Bible says, shall be destroyed. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, real quickly, if you would please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look what the Bible says here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Lord gives us a tremendous principle that we ought to pay attention to. We would be a whole lot better off in life if we paid more attention to what God said. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Lord says in verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good what? The word communications literally means company. The wrong company is going to corrupt your good manners. And God says you're to be walking as a child of what? Light. Not having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. See? Don't get yourself involved in the works of darkness. Doing those things that even is the Lord says it ought to be a shame even to speak about those what? Kind of things unsaved people do. Maybe the kind of things you did before you were saved, but now have no fruit, no fellowship with that. The Bible says, but rather reprove them. And when the Bible says, but rather reprove them in the text there, it's not talking about opening your mouth and saying, you ought not to be doing that. It's saying you reprove them by letting your light shine. What did we see in Philippians 2? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 15, we're lights holding forth the word of life. Remember that? And we're to be lights shining. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were what? And they would not come to the light lest their deeds should be reproved. How do we reprove the unsaved world, the unfruitful works of darkness? By letting our lights what? Shine. It's not going around telling folks, you ought not to be doing that. You ought not to be doing that. It's letting our light shine. And when God's people let their light shine the way God intended for us to shine, guess what? The unfruitful works of darkness won't hang around us. People doing those things won't be our friends because they won't want to be. Because the light of our life reproves them. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, we take some type of superior spiritual attitude about ourselves. You know, that we're better than they are. Remember, we've been saved by grace. Does God love them? Yes. Does God want them to be saved? Yes. And God does God have grace enough to save them? Yes. And when God saves them, He'll bring them out of darkness into what? Light. And then what's God going to say to them then? Walk as children of light. So it's not that we embrace some type of superior spiritual attitude. It's just that the Lord's done some wonderful things in our lives. And we want to walk as a child of light. We want to do that which is acceptable to the Lord. We want to obey the Scripture. Going back to Ephesians chapter 5. We want to do that which is acceptable to the Lord. We want to have the right kind of fellowship in life. Verse 14, for some of God's people, they need to wake up. They need to wake up. Look what it says there in verse 14. It says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that what? Sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee what? Light. There are some of God's people that allow themselves to go into a state of spiritual slumber, if you would please. They drift into spiritual apathy. The book of Revelation would say they're lukewarm Christians. And instead of their lives being a monument of fervency and life and vitality for the Lord Jesus Christ and being someone that wants to really please their Savior and honor their God, they become dead. They become asleep. And the Lord's crying out to them and saying, hey, hey, wake up! Wake up! Arise from the dead. Christ shall give thee what? Life. You know, that verse is like this verse here. But put you on the... and make not... for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Let's take our Bibles and turn over that passage real quickly. Hold your place in Ephesians. Go with me to Romans chapter 13, just real quickly. The book of Romans and Romans chapter 13. Because you see, Romans chapter 13 also talks about waking up. In Romans chapter 13, look what the verse says. Romans chapter 13, page 1207. In Romans chapter 13, the scripture says in verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of, there it is. Wake out of what? Sleep. Wake up, Christian. For our salvation's nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day's at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let's put on the armor of light. Let's walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, not in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Verse 14, but put you on who? The Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. When you make provision for your flesh, it takes you back into the realm of what? Darkness. What we read about our flesh this morning. It's evil. And our flesh will always lead us astray. If we're going to walk as a child of light, we've got to wake up. Verse 15 back in Ephesians. Quickly, please. Verse 15 says, "See then ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." You see that? We're to walk how? Circumspectly, not as fools, but as what? Wise. The best way I know how to explain walking circumspectly is that you see the path from Scripture that the Lord wants you to be on, and you stay on it. That's walking circumspectly. Now, as you see the path that the Lord wants you to be on, there's going to be all kinds of distractions. There's going to be all kinds of enemies that's going to try to pull you off that path. You follow me? For example, we won't turn there, but in Proverbs chapter 1, it speaks about a group of evil people doing evil things, crying out to someone saying, "Hey, cast in your purse with us. Come on over and have part with us." When people are doing wrong things, who suggests that you ought to be participating with them? If you're walking circumspectly, you say, "This is the path that God wants me on," and you just keep walking. You keep walking right past them. And you don't listen to their laughter. And you don't listen to their criticism. And you don't listen to their gossip. And you don't listen to their talk. And you don't worry about what they're going to say to your friends. Why? Because you're walking how? Circumspectly. And you don't want to be pulled out of that what? Path. You follow me? When the allurements of the world begin to shine your way, and don't they? Walking circumspectly, you say, friendship with the world means that I'm the enemy of God. Bye, world. I'm walking how? Circumspectly. And you have to take that as life. And you say, there's a path for which God wants all of his people to be on. And to walk circumspectly means that you're not listening to the voices. They're constantly out there trying to pull you off that path. It can be wrong associations, it can be wrong friends, it can be the world. It can be the pleasures of sin. What's the book of Hebrews say? There's pleasure in sin for what? For a season. So you can be attracted by the neon lights of sin. Your flesh can be attracted to it. And say, "Oh, you know, it won't hurt just this once. And nobody will know about it except for me and this other person." Yeah? No. You say, "Whoa, I'm going to walk out. I'm not going to listen to that voice. I'm going to walk out circumspectly." See, if we're going to be walking as children of light, we have to take the Christian life seriously. We have to take the life that God wants us to be walking seriously. And we have to realize there's a devil out there who's our enemy. And I'm not saying the devil is underneath every rock that you'll ever cross, maybe every other one. But I'll tell you, he's out there to pull you aside. He's out there like a roaring lion seeking who he may what? Devour. He wants to ruin your life. He wants to wreck your life. He wants you to believe his lies. I mean, how did he wreck Eve's life? By convincing her he was telling her the truth. I'm being good to you and God's being bad. And you know what? He's still feeding that lie today. And a lot of young people are buying into it. God's not being good to me. Look at what God says not to do. And the devil says, come on. Want a little pleasure? Want a little fun? Man, I've got it for you. And then he gets you in that. He takes you. He chews you up, spits you out, stomps on your feet, sees you in your misery, and laughs. See that you walk out circumspectly. That means you understand the path that God wants you to be on. And you keep yourself on that path. You don't listen to the voices. You don't listen to the vices. You keep reminding yourself, no, that's not the path I want in life. I want God's path. So if we're going to walk as children of light, verse 15 says we've got to walk how? Circumspectly. And notice how the verse ends. Not as what? Fools, but as? How many people have played the fool and lived to regret it? I, as a pastor, can only do so much. I can only preach so much. I can only plead so much. I can only pray so much. I can only encourage so much. I can only urge you so much and cheerlead you so much. But ultimately, what's going to happen to you in your life is dependent upon the choices that you make as to whether or not you're going to listen to this book or not. And then when you don't listen to it, one of the first persons you're going to call is going to be me. I'd much rather you embrace a life of wisdom and keep that circumspect way in life than to have to come along at 3 o'clock in the morning sometime and play Humpty Dumpty with you and try to pick up the pieces. I'm glad God can restore lives, but isn't it so much better if you never have to have that restoration? Come on.
Amen. You're right.
Some of you adults, you know, the Bible says the older generation needs to speak to the younger generation. Some of you older generation of saints that have made some unwise choices need to let it be known among some of the younger people in our church. You don't want to go that path. You see a young person starting to go astray, come up to them, put your arm around them. Say, hey, let's go down to McDonald's, let's go to Chick-fil-A, let's go somewhere and talk.
Amen.
You don't have to tell them all the details of what you've done. Just tell them, you know, I've been a little concerned about you of late. Seen you in church, but you don't keep your Bible open in church. Notice you've been nodding off. You haven't been really paying attention to the preacher. And, you know, that just says something to me. That says you're not really listening to the Lord. It's not an issue of pastor. It's an issue of, are you listening to God? Are you interested in what God has to say? And I'm concerned that you're going to make some decisions, going to be wrong decisions, that Satan's going to get you and he's going to swallow you up and life's going to be miserable. I'm going to tell you something. I've lived a little bit longer than you are. I've gone down this pike a little bit longer than you've gone down this pike. And I haven't always made the right decisions in life. And I want to tell you, I want to warn you, lest you make down a wrong decision. And I'm going to tell you, the reaping of it is not pleasant. It's not good. Yes, there's forgiveness with God. Thank God for that. Amen?
Amen.
But even at that, do we not even suffer the consequences of the wrong choices we make? It's true, isn't it? See that you walk circumspectly. Let me give you a couple more things and we'll be done here today. Verse 16 says, if we're going to walk as children of light, we've got to redeem the what? Time, because the days are what? Sometimes people get the idea, well, I'll start living for God sooner or later. Got to sow my wild oats first. You hear people talk like that? That's living in the lane of the fool. God says we need to redeem our time because the days are evil. We're running out of time. That's what it means. We're to make full use of our time. Life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes what? Away. The book of Psalms compares our life as being a handbreadth. That's how they measure horses, by the hands. So many hands high. Whew. Yes, Brother Charlie. Life is like the grass and the flower of the grass. It all withers away. It's here today, it's gone. Redeeming the what? Time, because the days are evil. If we're going to walk as children of light, we've got to realize we don't have much to live. We don't have long to live. I only have one life to give to the Lord. And once it's gone, it's gone. You only have one life to live. And once it's gone, it's gone. And we're to redeem our time. We're to buy up those opportunities and make full use of it. And then the Lord says this in verse 17, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You see, what is God's will for you as a child of light? It is to walk in as a child of light. It's to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The will of God is not some mystery thing that we go about trying to spend years to discover, like it's some mystical thing. Most of God's will is revealed for us right here in God's Word. And if we would just live Romans 12, 1 and 2 Christians, we would know what God's will is. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. The word prove means discover. that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to know the will of God? Be a Romans 12, 1 and 2 Christian. It's right there. Walk as children of light. Let's bow together in prayer.